Hello everyone, I'm Stephen Croft, the Bishop of Oxford. Welcome to the podcast, My Extraordinary Family. For each edition, I talk with someone I've come to know in my travels across our diocese and occasionally beyond about their faith, about their work, and about their story. And I'm asking people what it means to them to try and be more Christ-like, more contemplative, more compassionate, and more courageous. Today, I'm as close as I can get to Christ Church Cathedral. We're not in the cathedral itself because it's full of scaffolding, but we are nearby, and I'm with Michelle Ayres. Michelle, thank you for joining me. Michelle is one of the founders of a remarkable website called Discovering Prayer, which aims to help people pray through online support. Michelle, before I ask you to describe the site, tell me something about your journey and your story.
My journey is that I became a Christian sort of in my teenage years when I was a professional dancer. Mm. I was at the Royal Academy of Dance, and I was inspired really because of people I met who I just thought were amazing people, and they invited me to church. So that's my that's how I came to faith originally. Since then, I always had a really strong sense of the importance of prayer. I met people who really prayed and it changed their lives and I wanted in.
And you were for a time part of the community at Wantage?
Yes.
You became a nun?
Yes. So I went from, I was dancer, and then I was in a Christian company called Springs Dance Company, and then went from there. I always had this sense that I needed to pray, and that prayer was sort of the most important thing, at the heart of things. And of course, there are lots of different ways that can be worked out, but for me, it was, I wanted to go all out. So I went into a religious community at Wantage, yes.
Yeah, and how long were you there?
I was there 2.5 years.
Wow.
As a novice sister.
Yeah.
I loved it. I still love the people there. I mean, it's a wonderful community. They have do fantastic retreats. You can go and stay there. They're welcoming, hospitable. They're full of life. And I think when I first visited a convent, I thought it would be this kind of crusty, old, kind of dark kind of, but it wasn't. It was light and bright and full of energy. And it felt there was something there that was just so special. I wanted to be part of it. And it's still there, actually. The sisters are still there. We're great friends.
Yeah.
They're helping support Discovering Prayer. Actually, it's their prayers that we join into when we're praying.
When we're praying.
So that's the point of it,
really.
Yeah.
And what led you to begin Discovering Prayer as a website to help people pray?
I sensed that there was a lot going on in the media about mindfulness, people wanting to learn about meditation. And I knew there was this whole fantastic tradition of Christian meditation, but I didn't know whether or not anybody else really knew about it.
Right.
And I didn't know of anywhere that was really systematically teaching it and saying, yeah, this is something everybody can learn. It can help you deepen your relationship with God, get more in touch with the peace that passes all understanding, you know, that isn't about feeling a bit happy here and there, but is a deep sense of rootedness in God's love. And that's what I wanted to share with people. And a way of sharing that is to record audio prayer times.
Yeah.
So we make recordings and then you're sitting praying with a friend. And so it's quite intimate, but you can do those prayers whenever you like. And if you want, just like with this podcast, you could be listening, washing up, going for a walk, wherever you like.
I know a lot of people use it, but what's the scope of its reach now?
Well, at least 33,000 people have taken part. We've made the podcast for the Archbishop of Canterbury for Thy Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
So it's had a massive reach and it's amazing. And now there's a community of people that pray regularly. So that's the point, that when you pray with a Discovering Prayer, you're praying with a whole community of believers. And somehow we all help each other to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, it's
like
a flock of birds. They fly in a V formation to help each other because otherwise they couldn't keep going. And that's what it's like with prayer. And same with cyclists, isn't it? I'm always fascinated by these cyclists when you see long distance cyclists and they take turns at the front.
Oh, the peloton.
Yes,
formation. Yeah, that's really good. And if I go to the site for the first time, if I've never used it before, what will I find?
So you'll find lots of information about prayer, for a start, but also you can join completely free for that. We have a Discovering Prayer course, and that offers 5 different types of audio prayer time, because there are lots of different types of Christian meditation, as you'll know. So we don't suggest that anybody should pray in one particular way. We'll say, here's a whole recipe list. You can have all these different sorts. Take what works for you. And go from there.
Yeah, I went to have a look at the site this morning as I was preparing to meet with you. I have looked at it previously, and I was really loved the way it uses the ancient wisdom. Start where you are, use what helps. There's no one way to pray.
Yes.
That comes across really simple and straightforward and very powerful, I think. Is it, as far as you know, is it all ages? Is it young people? Are young people using this site?
Yes, they are. But we're actually under quite a lot of pressure to do some resources for children. And I would like to do that. Yeah. I think the next time, and especially nighttime resources for before you go to sleep and things. So that's in my mulla, if you like, as a next thing to do, probably for next Lent, actually, rather than this year. But
because there's loads in the news at the moment, and people are really concerned about mental health and children and young people. And the possibilities of prayer helping and learning to pray again, helping. Young people to navigate through the complexity of existence at the moment.
Kind of critical, really, for our time, I think.
And what surprised you most about the journey that you've taken with this?
Well, just how many people have got on board and how generous people are with their support and their time and their enthusiasm and the amazing ways that I've heard of it being used. So really moving accounts of somebody using Discovering Prayer, actually right at the end of life when they were dying, they were listening to Discovering Prayer very regularly, but equally somebody going around and using them at somebody else's house, just saying, well, let's pray, because they were in a bit of a spot and not really knowing where to start with prayer, so saying, well, I'll tell you what, let's listen to the
meditation. People are using it with other people.
Yes.
It's not simply a solo experience.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's kind of an online community, which is an extension of the religious life, which is the foundation of it all.
So that's where it comes all from. Attaching and somehow part of, as you said at the beginning, the prayer of the community at Wantage. And there are other communities you're linked to.
Yes. Well, I mean, of course, there's a Thriveway community, which is very new.
Yes, indeed.
And that's another new way of being a religious community, which will have a lot of social action in it, as well as deep foundations in prayer. But also, actually, Westmorling, which is a contemplative Benedictine community, and Mucknall Abbey, which I go to regularly as well.
Yes, I do too.
That's wonderful. So that's a lovely, that's another new, they've all got slightly different flavours that suit different people. But those are the ones that have been very close with me recently.
And it's a really interesting theme in your vocational journey, how all of that previous experience and your 2.5 years of being with the sisters, a novice sister at Wantage, has all worked together in this vocation to help people to pray.
Yes, it is. I thought when I went that I'd never leave. I absolutely was going in for good. But in the end I did, because there were other things, quite creative, the other things I needed to do as well. But it really has been a foundation for everything. And I would recommend the religious life. I mean, go in for a year, go in for a few years. I would absolutely say, if you're drawn to it, explore it, because it's a wonderful thing to do and it will stay with you forever and enhance everything you do.
We're recording this in a week when the Oxford University chapels have got Anglican sisters and religious spending a week in different colleges around Oxford. Lots were preaching at Evensong last night. And it seems that people are keen to explore different forms of religious life at the moment, which is really, really interesting. Now, I'm asking people as we go through these podcasts something about our diocesan vision to be a more Christ-like church, more contemplative, more compassionate and more courageous. And it might sound an obvious thing to ask you what you've learned about being more contemplative. So I'm not. I'm going to ask you what you've learned in this journey about what helps us to be more courageous in our Christian life.
Well, I think there is a touch of, if you think you're called to do something and nobody else is doing it at all, which is how I started out, and I really did start by making 5 recordings and giving them to some friends and them saying, oh, that's a bit tinny sounding, so I got a better microphone. And then we got professional recorders, then we made more, and then it grew. And sometimes, when things are growing, it feels like nothing much is happening. And I think that's when the courage is needed, because it's sometimes it feels a bit slow, and you put a load of effort in, and you don't know what the outcome's going to be. And after a while, of course, you begin to see some results, and that's quite encouraging. But when you're putting roots down, you can't see any growth. The roots are going down, and that God is in the roots and will fulfill the best of your knowledge, doing what he wants, and that is pleasing to him, whether or not you've quite got it right. So that's what I take hope from.
Really wonderful. I'm going to invite you to lead us in prayer in a moment, but have you got new resources coming to the site for Lent?
Yes, we have. We're just about to record some new recordings for the Passion, and they'll be quite lengthy ones. Quite a lot of our recordings are 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that fit in easily to people's lives. But people have asked us for longer meditation, so these ones will be actually on things like the crucifixion and washing the disciples' feet.
Michelle, thank you. And please, would you lead us, not simply in a short prayer, but I think in a meditation.
So this is a 3-minute meditation to help us to connect with God today. So whether it's your first time or you've been doing guided meditations for years, you're invited to come to this moment now, to God, to be refreshed and held in His presence. Thank you for taking this time to pray here with us, the Bishop and myself, but not just us, with the whole company of heaven, in fact, with God that's leading you on, with all the other monks and nuns and religious communities around the world that are praying for you, even when you don't know it. Father, this time is yours, and all we have, we surrender to you, being confident in your grace as we take our refuge in you and letting go whatever we've been doing before. So take a deep breath, and as you exhale, let go of whatever you've been doing before and be present now, recollected in these few special minutes for you to be with God. A reading from the Bible. This is at the start of our meditation. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city in which I have called you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. Now we'll have a time of meditation using the words of the Bible. Allow the words to sink in. Stay with the phrase, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city that I have called you. This is our meditation. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you. Stay with those words. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you. Continue to focus on those words for a few moments in the silence. The aim is to be in this moment with God, just listening to His word. If your mind wanders, it doesn't matter. Just come back to the words of the Bible. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you. And from a time of meditating on God's word, we now give thanks to God for His call at the heart of our lives. Thank you, God, for blessing us. Father, we thank you that you've drawn close to us in prayer, that you are with us at the beginning and the end of the day, and that you know us so deeply. Amen. I'd invite you to notice now how you feel. You've had the courage to take these few moments out to be with God. And you can return here to this place at home with God through the day or for the odd moments you have when you're walking in between activities. Thank you so much for praying with us, and I believe now the bishop's going to bless us.
And so may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you, now and always. Amen.
Amen.
And Michelle, thank you so much for taking part in this podcast, My Extraordinary Family.
Thank you, Bishop Steve.